Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 can be found on page 1176 of the Pew Bibles. The sermon tonight will be specifically from verses 12 through 16, but we'll be reading the whole chapter now. Philippians chapter 3, this is God's word, is living, is active, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Pay attention. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I might gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, and who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Pray with me. Oh God, do your work in our hearts now. Father, teach us what we need to learn. Encourage us where we need encouraged. Challenge us and convict us where we need it. Cut us deeply to do the work of a surgeon, getting out that sin which remains. Lord, and let us be spurred on towards loving you, we plead in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I was a boy, every 4 years there was something I really looked forward to, the Olympics. And I remember going to my grandparents' house. It seemed like we were always at my grandparents' house for the Summer Olympics. Because I remember sitting on their plaid couch next to the window that was by the porch, and the rays of the sun would be pouring in the window, and I would sit there with my grandpa's newspaper, and I would look at the sports section, and there would be a timeline at the bottom for NBC when all the different races were going on in a timeline, and they were all color-coded. And I remember trying to figure out where were the green ones, because that's where the swimming was. And I really wanted to see the swim races. I mean, swim races, let's face it, the Olympics are the best of the best. These are the people at the peak of their performance. They're making world records, Olympic records. They're leaving it all out there. They're the best. And some of these races for swimming, we're talking about winning and losing by the hundredth of the second. And you only got to see that every 4 years. I remember waiting to see those races. You, Christian, are also on a race. You're in a race in your own life. This is what we find in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. You are in a race. And your call tonight is to leave nothing left. Spare no exertions. Leave nothing on the field. Leave nothing in the pool. Go for it. Hold nothing back in your Christian race. But first, you need to do a spiritual fitness test. Right? If you're going to start any new exercise regimen, what's the first thing that it's going to say on that website or on that book that you're going to look at to tell you how to do the exercise? Consult with a doctor first to see if you're physically fit enough to be able to do this. You need yourself as a spiritual fitness test. Look with me at verses 12 and 13. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. When I got out of the Navy, I decided to join the swim team at the community college. I thought it's a good way to make friends. It's a good way to make sure I didn't get out of shape going to college. And so my coach nicely said, how about you come to the early morning practice first? Show up at the pool at 5 a.m. and we'll see how good or how bad you are. Well, I quickly came to the reality test. All the push-ups I wanted to do in the world in the Navy didn't matter when I got in the pool. And it was like I had never touched foot in a pool before. I was a bad swimmer. And I needed to be shown by someone that I was a bad swimmer. When you do the spiritual fitness test, like Paul says here, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. How do you walk around in your Christian life? Do you stop and evaluate yourself from time to time? I hope you did it Friday. I hope you did it this morning. Where are you? in your spiritual readiness? Where are you in your spiritual fitness? Where are you in your spiritual disciplines? And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that what the Scriptures tell us here is the same for us. We have not yet obtained it. We're not yet perfect. Paul knows this all too well. Right, if we turned over to Romans chapter 7, that's where Paul is sitting there. He's just in chapter 6 talked about how he is not a slave to sin, but he's a slave to righteousness. But you flip over a page and Paul, in the next chapter, is confessing in the Holy Spirit, telling us that the things that I want to do, I do not do, and the things that I do not want to do, yet I still do. O wretched man that I am. And if you've been a Christian for longer than 5 minutes, you know what that's like. When there's good things you want to do and you still don't do them. You know what it's like to hate a sin, to pray about it, and 10 minutes later fall into that same sin. But this is exactly what our confession is getting at in its paragraph on sanctification. The Westminster Confession says, sanctification is throughout, in the whole man. Yet imperfect in this life. There abiding, still remaining more, remnants of corruption in every part which ariseth a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Do you not feel that warfare that happens in your own heart continually? Irreconcilably, the flesh against the spirit. And yet, it's amazing that this comes, verse 12 comes after the previous verses. Verse 8, Paul says that he knows Christ. Verse 8, Paul says that he's lost everything for Christ. Verse 9, Paul says that he is found in Christ. Paul has a righteousness that's not his own by faith in Christ. And yet in verse 12, he says, I'm not perfect yet. I haven't obtained it. It's a real yearning to know Christ. It's a real yearning to know the power of His resurrection. There's a real yearning to share in His sufferings. There's a real yearning to be like Him in His death. And there's a real yearning to be like Him in His resurrection from the dead. You know that in your own heart too, don't you? To long for that day when this war will be over. When you will see your Savior face to face. When you will be raised again on that last day and you will be openly acknowledged and acquitted of all your sin. That's the Christian hope, isn't it? Paul had not yet arrived. His hands had not yet clasped onto that prize he was running after. Paul, in verse 12, has taken inventory of his soul and knows that he isn't there yet. There's movement to be made. That's what sanctification is. It's growth, growing in holiness, moving in holiness, moving more and more like Christ. Do you long for that movement? You aren't perfect yet. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know that you have a goal to work towards. But what are you aiming for? What's your goal? Our second point, take aim at your goal. Take aim at your goal. Look with me at verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the mark? What is the prize? What is the goal which Paul is speaking that the Scriptures are pointing to here? What are you chasing after in your own life? Pleasure? Money? Prestige? Reputation? Happiness? Just not wanting to be annoyed with other people? Vanity. worthless, meaninglessness, and void. That's a wasted life. It's a wrong goal. It's a wrong mark. It's not the prize. It's not what you were made for. And this is an extreme danger to you, Christian. You in the pew right now who live in America, this is the bill of goods you've been sold by the American culture. Get more stuff. Be happy. Have a good reputation. Get a big house. Have a great retirement account. Move down to Florida, play golf every day. You're laughing, but it's what people live for. People work every single day, and that's their only thing. Someday I'll move down to Florida and I'll golf every day, and I won't be bothered by these people around me. That's all their life's about. What are you aiming for, Christian? It must be Jesus Christ. It must be the upward call in Jesus Christ. That is your aim. I was talking with an old minister months and months ago, and he was lamenting to me how sad it was that young men who have families, how frequently their wives and their kids might come to church, but the husbands don't. Because they got too much stuff to do on Sunday. They have fancy cars and their wives have cobwebs in their hearts. Because they've been pushing towards the wrong prize. Pastor last week told us, talking to a woman who said, you need to be following your husband. She said, it's kind of hard to follow a parked car. What are you aiming for? The goal must be Christ. All of Him. His righteousness, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, His power to be with Him, to be like Him, to be in Him. Your entire life must be about Jesus Christ. That's it. He is our goal. He is your prize. He is your great reward. You will be in Him. You will be with Him. And you will be like Him. If that's not what you think the goal of life is, you haven't believed the heart of Christianity. Recite your aim. It's Jesus Christ who's our mark. He's our prize. He's your goal. Chase down that goal. But as you're running this race, don't look over your shoulder. That's your third point. Don't look over your shoulder. Look with me at verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward towards what lies ahead. One running blogger, her name is Hannah Hartzell, wrote about running this way. She said, in 99% of racing situations, looking back is not a smart idea. Why? Because it signals a negative shift, this is downshifting, in the mindset of an athlete. When a runner looks backwards, it is typically because they are afraid of someone catching up with them. They're no longer running to win. They're running to avoid losing. Running to avoid losing strips you of your enjoyment. Don't focus on the past, Christian. The Christian race is forward moving. The Christian race is always progressing. There's no such thing as being a Christian who's standing still. Either you're pushing forward towards Christ, or you're being sucked up by the culture and it's going backwards. You're pushing forwards, Christian. But there's an amazing point here that I was surprised for her language. Running to avoid losing strips you of your enjoyment. Do you remember your first question of the larger or the shorter catechism? Right? The second half. Right? To glorify God and to what? Enjoy Him forever. That's what you're running towards. An eternal enjoyment. You're not running to avoid losing, Christian. The victory's been won. Calvary happened. The resurrection is true. You need to look forward and keep on running. Don't look back. But there's another danger with looking back. And that's complacency. When you're running and you can see how far you've come from the starting line, and you might be able to look back at the starting line and go, I've done a pretty good job. Look how far I've come. And you become satisfied with how far you've come. So you're thinking about what's on down here, where you are, rather than what the goal is, which is perfection in Christ Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your gaze fixed on Christ. You're not there yet. You aren't perfect yet. You haven't obtained Him yet. There's something better, Christian. There is something better than what you have now. There is something better than what you have now, Christian. There is more glory to be experienced in Jesus Christ in the future than what you have ever imagined now. That well goes deep. And you'll never be thirsty. So strain towards the goal. Our fourth point. Strain towards the goal. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, when I was on the swim team in college, it was back to basics. Here's how you kick. Here's how you pull. Here's how you turn. Let's work on endurance. But one of the exercises I found most obnoxious was, here's how you breathe. And there was an exercise that the coach had us do. They were called hypoxics. Right? And so what you would do is you would do four laps. One, two, three, four. And as you were going for your first lap, you would get to breathe once every five breaths. Not too bad. On your way back, once every seven breaths. A little bit harder. Then you turn and you keep going, and now it's every nine breaths. It's getting really difficult. And then you're to turn underwater and swim all the way back as hard as you can, trying not to breathe the last lap. And your muscles would be screaming. Your lungs would ache, your head could be lightheaded, and all you knew is that you had to get to the end of the pool. You had to keep your eye fixed on the end of the wall, and you had to keep swimming, keep pulling, keep kicking, keep going, keep leaning in, and when you finally got to the wall, you would grab the wall and finally fill your lungs with oxygen. Lean forward. press towards the mark, strain towards it. The Greek here has the idea of when you're running towards the finishing line, you're leaning in, you're trying to just get to the finish line. That must be your Christian walk. That's what Deuteronomy 6 through 9 is taught, or 4 through 6 is talking about. You are to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. Not just 80%. Not just 90%. You can't leave anything on the track. You have to keep running. You have to make your muscles strain. The Christian life is not a leisurely walk in the park. There will be times where you're blessed with peace and with stillness. But you're still running. You're still straining. You're still pushing on. When it's early in the morning and you're tired, grab that coffee and open up your Bible. When you're tempted with that sin for the fifth time this afternoon, fight it again. When it feels like you have absolutely nothing left at the bedtime and the kids are absolutely crazy, push through it. Offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. Spend yourself for them. When your brother has sinned against you 7 times, forgive him another time. Press on, push with all your might, fight for holiness when it's hard. Lunge with all your soul strength. Store up His Word in your heart, even when the pressures of this world want to sap your strength. Throw yourself at the finish line. He's worth it. He's worth it. The prize is worth the strain. Reach forward with all your might to take grasp of that prize, Jesus Christ. But remember, in this race, you're not to look behind, but you are to look to the sides. Remember, you're not in this race alone. That's your fifth step. Remember, you're in a team race. Remember, you're in a team race. Look with me at verses 15 and 16. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. This phrase, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, that might be a little confusing. Some translations get a little bit closer to the idea that Paul is getting at here. This is whoever's mature, right? He's already said that he isn't perfect. This is the idea of whoever's mature. As many as are mature. You who are mature in the faith, keep running. You're our pace setters. You who are mature in the faith have an obligation to the covenant children and to us who are younger in the faith to set the pace. When we see you running, when we see Madge Adams still running towards holiness, which one of us is not encouraged? The church needs 80-year-olds who are running towards Christ. The immature need to see our gray-haired fathers and mothers lunging with all their strength towards Christ. This is exactly why Paul tells the older women to teach the younger women and the older men to teach the younger men. We need you who are mature in the faith. This is a team race. You're ahead of us. You started decades before us. Keep running towards Christ. Keep running with endurance. Keep Christ in front of you. Those of you who are mature in the faith, when you run, you set an example for those around you. Not just that somehow you've attained it, not somehow that you've reached your end, but that we know this is a long race. And that we're to keep running it and running it and running it, that we might also attain the prize with you. You set the pace by the cadence of your life. But lastly, brothers and sisters, it's worth saying again, never lose sight of the prize. Your sixth step, never lose sight of the prize. Look with me again at verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is worth it. Christ has called you. Christ loves you. Christ is the righteous one. Christ is the holy one. He is the perfect one. He is the mature one. And He's the one who we chase after. Jesus is your fellowship. Jesus is your joy. Jesus is your King. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your High Priest. Jesus is your righteousness and your atonement for sin. Jesus is your older brother, your hope. He's your salvation. He's your God. And He's worth it. Never lose sight of the prize. Jesus Christ Himself. Your goal is Jesus. Your eternal reward is Jesus Christ, the second person, the Godhead. Chase Him down. Hold nothing back. Strain yourself with all your might. And as the Shorter Catechism beautifully says, on the day of your death, you will immediately pass into glory. And on that great day of the resurrection, you will be openly acknowledged and acquitted of all your sins and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God for all eternity. That is your upward call in Christ Jesus. He's laid hold of you. Now lay hold of Him. Spare no exertions. Leave nothing on the field. Leave it on the track. On the last day, it'll be worth it. And on every day in eternity, from then on out, when you are enjoying Him in perfect union, you'll forget the strain because you'll have the prize perfectly. Let's pray. God, what blessing You have poured out on us that we don't deserve. Lord, that You would look upon us sinners and You would give us a new heart. Thank You. Thank You for Your righteousness and thank You for our joy. Father, we pray that You would forgive us for how often we go to the right and to the left. Lord, but we thank You that You tell us this is the way. Lord, you bring us back on the path. You set our eyes on the mark. Lord, we pray that you would preserve us to that last day. Lord, we pray that as we waste ourselves, exerting ourselves, Lord, that indeed we might even bring others with us to you. Father, be glorified by moving your Spirit in our lives, that we would live these things out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.